So our text for this first Sunday in Lent is from our gospel reading. We heard a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 4 these words, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we too, it seems, live in a wilderness. It seems that's the case. We too, having been baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit descending upon us, washing and regenerating and renewing us, we too, so it seems, have been led into a wilderness that's called life, and there we're tempted by the devil and tempted daily. Now, who is the devil? Who is he? The devil's a fallen angel. A fallen angel by the name of Satan. A fallen angel who thought it was not enough for him to just be an angel, but who wanted to be God himself. And so he led a rebellion in heaven. And in that rebellion, Satan was defeated. Not surprisingly, then, the devil descended upon the creation of God and tempted Eve with the same idea that had driven his own rebellion, and that is that Eve, like the devil, should really be like God. And the only thing standing in the way of Eve being like God was the knowledge of good and evil. Temptation of Eve. Classic example, I would guess, of misery loves company. And having wished to be like God, Eve as well as Adam were cast out of the presence of God, out of the Garden of Eden, to live the rest of their lives outside of paradise, the Greek word for the Garden of Eden, outside of paradise in a wilderness. In a wilderness where they would have to work every day to survive. Now, even worse than the world outside of the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve would have to live in would be the world after the flood of Noah. After the flood of Noah wiped all living matter off the face of the earth, creating vast wastelands, vast wildernesses still visible today, like the western half of the United States. Or the Sahara Desert in North Africa. I've flown over that thing 6 times now. There's nothing to be seen. The place is as big as all of North America, the United States. Mountainous region of Tibet, equally foreboding. If you've ever been to any of those regions of the earth and been out and about hiking or walking or just standing for a while, you remember the feeling of the utter absence of almost everything needed to support this body and life. So the old idea out west that the theft of a horse from a man was a capital offense, for if a man didn't have a horse in the wilderness, which was the west, he would most likely die. He'd die from a lack of water. He'd die from a lack of food. He'd die from exposure. But it's into just such a wilderness that Jesus, after his baptism, was driven by the Holy Spirit. And yet, without food for 40 days and nights, without a roof over his head, without the provisions even the back of a donkey could carry, Jesus, when tempted by the devil, he still asserted 3 things. The first, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Number 2, we shall not tempt the Lord our God. That is, demand from God that he prove his provision and his care for us. And number 3, we shall worship the Lord our God, and him only shall we serve. Now, it is interesting, isn't it, that we here in the wilderness, or we here in the Twin Cities, we really don't live in a wilderness like that, do we? Like the one that Jesus experienced, like the west after the flood, the Sahara Desert, like the Tibetan mountains. Far from it, right? Far from it. We're surrounded, literally surrounded by everything we could ever want or need. Take, for instance, that new Hy-Vee store just a couple of blocks from here. That place is truly unbelievable. It's like walking through the chocolate factory of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fame. The things they have there to eat, amazing. The same could be said for Cub Foods or Bob's Produce or Lunds and Byerly's or even Aldi. And what about Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's? Where does all that stuff come from? All the stuff that lines the shelves of those stores, appearing miraculously almost, and yet we're tempted, aren't we? We're tempted to doubt the provision of God, our loving Heavenly Father, for us. Even if we all had gardens, and those gardens produced abundantly for us as they do here in Minnesota in the summer every single year, we would doubt God's provision for us. Shall we talk about medicine? Our pharmacies are filled to the brim with every medication known to man, it seems. Urgent cares and hospitals are everywhere to be found. The latest and greatest of all sorts of medical equipment are at our disposal and even made here in town. They're made here in Medtronic, Boston Scientific, and yet we doubt there too, don't we? We're tempted to doubt that God, our loving Heavenly Father, will provide for our bodies, our health, our well-being. What of all the other stuff of the world? Well, all we need to do is to take a stroll through the Mall of America in Bloomington to see what there is to be had, to be purchased. Money? There are jobs to be had. There's training for those jobs to be had. Yeah, it used to be in this area of the country that a life of work meant a life on the farm, of strenuous physical labor every single day of our lives until we just couldn't labor anymore. My grandfather, for example, was a dairy farmer taking over the family's dairy at the age of 17 after his father, my great-grandfather, suddenly died. My grandfather worked on that farm into his late 50s when he was afflicted with Parkinson's disease, most probably because of his exposure to DDT. And one day he sat down while working with the cows there in the barn, and that was it. He could work no more. Nowadays, of course, we work, but we don't have to work in that way. The variety of work that can be done and be paid for seems to be so great. I mean, who ever thought, even 30 years ago, that you could make a living sitting at home in your living room with a cup of coffee, with a donut, and with a screen in front of you, and you type in front of the screen, and someone is going to pay you for that? And that's one of the standard jobs today. You can do that. The opportunities are great. The education and training available. The variety almost unending. And yet, we doubt that God, our loving Heavenly Father, will provide what we need and even want in this world. And we doubt the means He's provided for us to do so. And so we become disgruntled and dissatisfied, and we look for some other way to make a buck somehow miraculously, or maybe we just give up. Just give up. And in the process, we fall away. Fall away from faith as we pursue this, that, and the other venture. So no, we don't live in a wilderness, nothing like it. But like Jesus, we are tempted to do what we should not do and to think what we should not think and to worship what we should not worship, because what has sin done but created within our hearts and our souls and minds a wilderness? A wilderness in which we think we're all alone. We're all alone in the world. Sure, we're not in such a wilderness, but it certainly feels like we are. And as we know nowadays, whatever we feel something is, that must be what it is. But what is the heart that gives us that feeling? The heart's not something to be trusted. So we read in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful. It's deceitful above all things. Desperately sick. Who can understand it? And what that means for us is that along with the three temptations that Jesus faced there in the wilderness, we're faced with a fourth. And that is the devil coming to us and saying, Hey there. Have you noticed you're in a wilderness? Didn't know the devil has a Minnesota accent. He does here. Have you noticed you're in a wilderness? I mean, sure, it doesn't look like a wilderness. Yeah, it seems like your Father in heaven is taking care of you and loves you and is guarding you, but is he? Is he? Sure, you have food, plenty of it, but it's not the best food you can have. And health care, sure, the basics are covered by all that over-the-counter stuff, but who can afford anything more? And yeah, to get ahead, you really can't spend time going to worship at church or reading your Bible at home or praying or helping others. I mean, you're on a tight schedule. You don't have time. Because in order to get ahead in this world, what you need to do is listen to me. Because I, the devil, am the prince of this world. I, the devil, am the god of this world. So if you want this world, I'm the guy to turn to. The devil. Yes, that's our temptation. Our temptation in spades. Believing our fickle heart that we're in a wilderness and that the only solution is our trusting in and worshiping the god of this world, the devil. It's as simple as that. So let's not do that. Let's realize that that's our temptation. Let's repent of the times we have fallen to that temptation. And let's pray for greater faith, even the spirit and the courage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who actually faced a real wilderness with no food or protection of any kind and still fought off the temptations of Satan. Realize it's just such courage, it's just such spirit, it's just such faith that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would give to us. To us. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And also Jesus taught his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the courage, so the faith, so the spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we need, and that's what we have. That's what we have. That's what we have already, having been gifted both when we were baptized into the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For what did we receive when we were baptized into Christ? But all that Christ is, and all that Christ has done for us, and all that Christ is still doing for us, and all that Christ will do for us. How can we, who died to sin, then still live in it? That is, falling to the temptations of the devil. So we read in Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were baptized, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. That is, listening to the devil. For one who's been died and one has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives, that means right now, he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is what we are. Alive to God in Christ Jesus, having the faith given to us by Christ. Alive to God in Christ Jesus, having the Spirit of God given to us by Christ. Alive to God in Christ Jesus, living not in the wilderness, but in a garden, a paradise, in which all that we need to support this body and this life is daily given to us out of fatherly divine goodness. That's our life. That's our life in Christ Jesus, a daily life of forgiveness, a daily life of life and salvation. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.